listen to all 4 hours of the show.
That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand.
Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app. How are you on this hump day Wednesday that feels like a Thursday because nobody's working Friday, right? Y'all get Friday off because it's the 4th of July on a Saturday? Most companies out there? Anyway, that's what we're doing. We will be off the air Friday, and then I'm off all next week, little pre-scheduled vacay. Pete had to leave us earlier today, was feeling a little under the weather. So, anyway, I just want to let you know, he's not here, but we are we're a little late coming back. This is like almost record territory. Apologies there for the clock management. I went Andy Reid on you there for a minute. But we had Wikipedia that ran long. It was kind of some hard questions. Today is Bobby Bonilla Day. And for those that don't know, July 1st every year, Bobby Bonilla gets a check for $1.19 million. Arguably, he could be the highest paid player in baseball now with the weird year. This was all part of a $5.9 million payout or a buyout from the Mets in 2000. But remember, they were in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. And the Mets had no money. And so they couldn't afford to pay him out with $6 million. So they stretched it out through the year 2035. He's 57 years old right now, but getting a check for $1 million plus every July 1st. This can go on until he's 75 years old. This is the greatest pension plan I've ever heard of in the history of sports. He's not the only one, by the way. They had to pay off Brett Saberhagen, too. He's getting about $250,000 as well. Again, the team couldn't afford to pay off these guys at the end of the contract back then.
Little bit of breaking news right here. The NFL has announced that they will cut their preseason schedule in half.
Okay.
Each team will play a home game and each team will play a road game.
Okay. I'm assuming these are weeks 1 and 2 and we'll just pick it up with weeks 3 and 4, right? We would assume that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they work it out where everybody, you know, you play a...
Oh, yeah, because some teams might be playing.
They might be home and home. Right. Yeah, and they might be on the road. Or you
might have to redo that.
And each team is going to get a road, and each team is going to get a home game.
Okay.
So they just lose half their gate.
Hearing that, and I feel like I've done a pretty good job of warning you guys that this was coming for about 3 or 4 weeks. Just kept hearing rumblings that they were going to cut the preseason. And I thought the same thing about the Hall of Fame game before they made that announcement. And then, like a week before the Hall of Fame game was canceled in Canton, Ohio, I think it was the governor of Ohio.
Yeah, I think it was DeWine, yeah.
Yeah, he comes out and says, hey, we're still good. I think he even said something, in fact, we're hoping to have fans there, something crazy. And then a week later, the NFL canceled it. Said, well, let's just do it next year and so we could do it right. And... we just got a text from Celtic Lover. He says they're canceling weeks 2 and 3. Does that make it easy for the NFL to have a home and home based on weeks 1 and 4? I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, I'm seeing a few people saying that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing a few 1 and 4 will be cut.
Oh, well, that's...
I'm sorry. Yeah, the first and the fourth game will be cut.
Okay.
So you play week 2 and week 3, which I believe the Dolphins and Lions were slated to play against each other week 3. So we still get that matchup.
Yeah. I think our week 1 was Lions-Patriots, so we won't get that. But, yeah, that'll be good. But anyway, this has been kind of brewing. So this is not shocking news. It's disappointing, and then it feels like a little bit of failure in that we're not getting any closer to solving how we're going to operate in this post-COVID-19 world. But again, not totally shocking. But what does this do for your confidence of us playing football at all? We've already bailed on the Hall of Fame game. We're cutting the preseason in half. We still have questions about college football. And the NBA is getting ready to go. Baseball getting ready to go. We got players with positive tests in both sports right now. Are you feeling good? We said on this show back in March, I'll give Pete the credit for it. He said, we're not going to figure anything out until July 1. Once we get to July 1, maybe we'll be past the worst of this and we can move forward. Well, All we really did is delay the worst, it seems like, to me, anyway. I mean, I remember the NBA. Adam Silver was going, well, we stopped the season in March. By the time we got to April, he goes, look, we ain't making any decisions till May 1st. Well, May 1st came and went, and he still couldn't make any decisions. And he said, well, we're still under no rush. All of May went by, and I think it was June 1st he finally said, hey, we're going to start playing at the end of July. And here we are. Do you, the listener, do you feel any more confident or comfortable that we're moving forward? Or is it starting to crumble? In fact, we've got some sound here from Adam Silver. Adam was doing some interviews yesterday, and he said, look, we're still moving forward. We're still on schedule. But he did admit in some of these interviews that if we have an outbreak, and I don't know what constitutes an outbreak. I don't know if one player from every team gets it or if, like, eight players from every team gets it. He said, if we have an outbreak inside our bubble, we got to shut it down for good. But anyway, here's what he said doing an interview with Time Magazine yesterday. Adam Silver says, even as Florida sees spikes in the coronavirus, the bubble in Orlando can still be safe.
I'm pretty confident, largely because, as I said, we're playing on a campus that is confined in that the only way to gain access to that campus is to be part of our protocol where there is regular testing. And if someone were to leave our campus, again, they would need to test and quarantine in order to return to play. So at least in terms of the model, we're protected from the rate of cases in the community, in the broader community.
All right, so they've got everything all set. We'll see if it actually works. But if it doesn't, we're going to have to shut it down all over again. But again, I ask you, what's the definition of, we're going to have positive corona tests with NBA players. It's going to happen. We're going to have it in baseball. We're going to have it in football. We're having it now. So it'd be stupid to think we're not going to have it 4 weeks from now. But how much, what's the cutoff before we got to shut it all down? There's another concern I've had. This is a little more tongue-in-cheek, but it's serious. With no fans in the stands, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go to a live sporting event and sit up close. A lot of F-bombs, a lot of bad words, a lot of swearing going on. And you don't hear it on TV too much. You hear some gets through. And I always point out that there's a little bit of a delay on the TV broadcast because they got a guy sitting there and he's cut. You hear little cuts in the audio from time to time, especially during a basketball game. That's because somebody just dropped an F-bomb and some editor just shut down the audio for a second to bleep it out so you don't hear it in your home. Adam Silver was talking about this in this Time Magazine interview, and he was asked, what about tape delay for these games, because all the trash talking, going to be some bad words said.
I'm excited for the potential of trash talk, which is this hidden part of the game being broadcast and getting a little more insight into that. Are you in support of fans hearing more trash talk on the court?
We'll see. I mean, I think that comes with potential for additional miking. I mean, I think there's got to be some limits on the language. I think often players, they understand when they're on the floor, they're saying certain things to each other because it's so loud in the arena. They know a lot of it's not being picked up. I mean, they may have to adapt their language a little bit, knowing that what they say will likely be picked up by microphones. And in all seriousness, we may need to put a little bit of a delay on some of our. Those are all issues that we're going to work through.
If you think the players are going to self-censor themselves just because they know that there's no crowd, you got to know the thing coming. I mean, they're habitual swears. They're going to keep doing it. Or maybe, how about this? If we're on ABC, we put the tape delay. If we're on cable, ESPN or TNT, we say, hey, it's cable. Let an occasional swear word slip in.
Yeah, why can Michael Jordan drop an F-bomb on The Last Dance?
Yeah.
Sunday at 9 o'clock, but somebody can't say, give me that bleep when getting a rebound.
Right.
Sunday at 10:30.
Or get that bleep out of here. Exactly. That's one of my favorites.
I love it.
Here's Malika Andrews on Golic and Wingo this morning, detailing on employee testing inside the NBA bubble.
The league is going to do their best to make sure that the people who are working on, say, this one tower with this one team cleaning these specific rooms, that they are then repeating those same rooms. You're limiting the number of people that have been in and around your personal space, because you're not even allowed to go in. A player isn't even allowed to go into another player's room, right? So they're being as diligent as they can. And the other thing that I asked about was just how concerned they are. And the league has told me that they have consulted with doctors who said, look, the primary way that this virus is transmitted is human-to-human contact through breath, through saliva, through that sort of a thing. And so if you, not through surfaces, although that is one way that it could possibly be transmitted. And so what they're saying is, look, we are subjecting those people to temperature checks, to other sort of symptom checks. They won't be in the room at the same time as the players. And for the people who will even be remotely close to the players, like the bus drivers I mentioned, those people are already getting tested.
Yeah, they're testing everybody. And I just had a great idea while I was just thinking about that. Instead of inside the NBA, maybe we could have a new name. You know, maybe Rachel Nichols is broadcast inside the NBA bubble. That sounds
instead of the jump, the bub.
Yeah,
the bubble.
The bubble.
The bub.
Yeah. I like that very much. I got a text from 314. I believe that's St. Louis, by the way, and a first-time texter. I feel like we're repeating mid to late February all over again. Things are slowly getting canceled. I fear a week or two from now, everything will be shut down for the year. I can't tell you you're wrong. I don't know. I'm not feeling awesome about things right now. I'm not.
Nope. I was a lot more confident 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Than I am right now. You know, it was 2-3 weeks ago we were figuring out, okay, where are the... What are the host cities going to be for the NHL when they come back?
Yeah.
By the way, looks like they're both going to be in Canada. Looks like it's going to be Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah.
Now,
is Canada...
I'm sorry, Toronto and Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Yeah.
Now, is Canada in good shape coronavirus-wise? They don't want to come down to America because it's a mess?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really do not know.
I believe today is Canada Day.
It is Canada Day. Yeah, I'm glad you got that in.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Here's Jay Williams. Jay, interesting. All right. This was on First Take. He said, look, the league needs to bat 1,000. This is the NBA. And he doesn't know if it's worth even playing.
You have to bat 1,000, essentially, in order for this to actually happen. And that is hard. There are a lot of mitigating factors that go into this. And even if the NBA players bat 1,000, does that mean everybody else around them, are they going to bat 1,000? Are they going to make the right decisions? And ultimately, guys, I find myself saying, you know, is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it for the sake of entertainment? And I know that there is a lot of money at stake, but the league has made a lot of money over the past 5 to 10 years that I think 1 year could be a buffer to wait and to see what happens with this whole pandemic. I don't know if I necessarily agree with Adam Silver's comments about, you know, we're going to have to learn how to live through this pandemic. I know we have no other choice but to live through this pandemic. Playing sports through this pandemic is another question here, guys.
Again, what's his definition of needing to bat 1,000? We're going to have positive tests. So we need to learn how we're going to move forward and how we're going to handle positive tests and the contact testing and all that. We're not going to shut it down for if one player on each team gets sick. But what's the cutoff? Because at some point, yes, we will shut it down. Half the team? All the team? Well, all the team, you have to.
Well, but I'm...
Or do you just forfeit the games because the other teams are fine? Are we going to have forfeits in NBA playoff series because of this? Because everybody else can keep going, but one team can't.
You know, nobody likes to hear this, but I don't think that there's a number, you know? If 149 players test positive, we're fine. But as soon as we hit 150, we got to shut it all down. I don't think that there's an actual number.
We'll know when we get there.
Yeah, I think that it's more of a, I hate to say wait and see approach. But yeah, I mean, I think you got to get down there in the bubble because there's not a case study for the NBA to be working off of.
Yeah.
Nobody else has done this, right? Like MLS is a couple weeks ahead of where the NBA will be with the bubble.
Yeah.
I believe that games start on July 8th for the MLS in their Orlando bubble. But there's no case study. There's nothing that says, okay, as soon as, you know, do we have to clear out a whole hotel? Do we have to clear out that floor?
Yeah.
Do we have to – how far back does the contact tracing need to go? Does it need to go back 24 hours, 48 hours, or 72 hours? There's nothing. So I know people don't like to hear it, mm-hmm. but it's almost like there's unprecedented, right? Word gets thrown around a lot. Well, that it's true right here, and the fact that they don't know. There's nothing to look off of and go, okay, you know, when this happened last, this were the cases, and – There's none of that. They're the guinea pig. That's what they are.
Okay, all that said, why is it? Okay, I come in here every day and I see these European soccer teams. They're playing. They were the first ones to put their toe in the water, and a lot of Europe got hit hard on this stuff. I don't hear a lot of reports about players testing positive and shutting down soccer games.
No.
Korean baseball organization is going to start allowing fans on Friday. What are they doing that we're not, or why are things running so smoothly where it seems like we're having trouble getting the airplane off the ground from what I'm seeing? What's different? I don't know. Or did they go through the same growing pains that we did, but through testing and being vigilant, they were able to handle the situation? And maybe we'll be fine when we start the NBA. Maybe we'll be fine when we start baseball. I don't know. A couple more cuts. Speaking of baseball, we talked a lot about the NBA. Let's see how the baseball is going to come back. Because both of these leagues are going to be doing this simultaneously. And we're going to see who's going to pull this off more successfully. Of course, the NBA will be more of a bubble. Major League Baseball will be in their home stadiums and traveling regionally under somewhat controlled conditions. Here's Jesse Rogers on ESPN Daily on baseball's expectations for positive tests.
Some people think as many as 150 players are going to test positive. Now, there's up to 1,800 players reporting, so maybe 150 doesn't sound like a lot, right? Other people think it might be a lot less than that, 50 to 75 players. But there will be dozens of players testing positive. That is the expectation. And then, of course, those players have to be isolated before they can get back on the field. And that involves being tested and coming up with negative tests twice over the span of 24 hours, two separate tests. And there's a couple hurdles after that as well. But yes, the expectation is there will be positive tests and potentially in the dozens or more in the coming days.
All right, one more quote from him here, again on ESPN Daily, on what it would actually take for baseball to shut it all down.
The best answer I've gotten is we'll know it when we see it, which is not a great answer. Obviously, very large number of positive tests is going to take a large number of players out of their locker rooms, out of their stadiums. At some point, it won't be enough to perform, right? If we're talking hundreds and hundreds of positive tests, whether that be starting today or in the near future, once games start and teams start traveling. So I don't know what that number is, but if hundreds of players are testing positive and they're out of the lineup and in the lineup and out of the lineup for days, weeks on end, that's going to pause the game, certainly.
See, that's the big question. What is the eventual cutoff where you shut it back down? Now that July is here and baseball is coming back, that means it's a great time for a triple play with Damon Brist Farmers Insurance. You can bundle and save with home, auto, and umbrella, or home, auto, and boat, for example. However you want it, Damon Brist Farmers Insurance can discount all three policies for you. Damon Brist Farmers Insurance was the first farmers agency in Southwest Florida, and he's still the fastest growing farmers agency in the entire country. Call him today, 239-202-2933. That's 239-202-2933. The Damon Brist Agency, your farmers insurance connection. I've switched my policies. Have you switched yet?
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday on what will be a shortened week for most of you. Most of you off on Friday. We will be off on Friday as well. Getting ready for the 4th of July. I will be on vacation next week. Pete, Chris, I'll get you through the finish line next week as well. It's that time of year. Going to take just a few days off. All right, in case you're just joining us, the NFL, which has already canceled the Hall of Fame game, They have now cut the preseason in half. Chris, you have some more details on the first and fourth game, or how are they doing it?
Yeah, so here's an updated preseason schedule, if you will. Most teams, nearly all NFL teams, will report to training camp on July 28th.
Okay.
Training camp, 23-day acclimation period then begins.
Okay.
The first week of preseason games will be held August 20th through August 24th.
Okay.
So you have those four evenings. Yeah, four evenings,
yeah, right,
where you'll have the games being played. Then week two of the preseason, August 27th to the 31st.
Okay.
Then 10 days later, or after the 31st, I should say, September 10th, Texans at Chiefs, game is still on.
Okay.
So a lot more time at training camp before playing your first game, which might be actually a good thing for that week one preseason game.
Because that's usually a garbage game anyway. Players don't play, and it seems like the guys just got to camp.
Right. So this might be a good thing that you've got almost four full weeks of training camp before you're playing your game.
So did they – I'm trying to look back at the calendar here. So they literally just – pick up week one and four and just remove it.
Yeah, and then you're playing weeks
two and three are still on the same dates that they were.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that the NFL put this in place when releasing the schedule, that each team played a road game and each team played a home game in weeks two and three.
I wonder if that's normal, if they normally do that, if they pre-plan that.
I don't know. I've never paid attention to it.
Right. I mean, just give me the games and go.
Never anything that I've had to think about.
The Lions have played two in a row at home. Yeah, I never do that. Okay. So then the next step would be, if things are bad, you get rid
of preseason.
The two preseason games.
Yeah.
Now, then you probably pick up the first month, and you flip September into January, and you got your February 28th Super Bowl that's delayed, because that option exists. There's also another lesser extreme version where your week two opponent, I believe, is the same as your bye week.
Yes, so you'll just eliminate the bye week, and you'll slot that game into that week, your bye week.
All right. So today is July 1st. The first preseason game that we just canceled was what, August? Was it August 6th? No, that was the Hall of Fame game. It would have been like August 13th and 14th, right? That would have been week one of the preseason, if I'm not mistaken. The reason I'm doing the math here is they just canceled games 6 weeks out.
August 14th was the Dolphins' first preseason game.
Okay, so they're giving themselves 6 weeks to make a decision here, right?
Yeah, but this doesn't make any sense now. If you're throwing out weeks one and week four, the Dolphins play home week two and week three of the preseason. They host the Eagles week two, and they host the Lions week three. So that doesn't make any sense. And we've been told that each team will have a home and each team will have a road game.
They may come back now and adjust that. That game is in Detroit. Maybe that's what they do.
Okay.
So that everybody gets a freebie, because the owners want still – well, I don't know if they're letting fans in. If they're not letting fans in, then it's not important who has the home
game. But remember, preseason, you have local TV revenue attached to it, national.
Okay. All right. Well, my whole point going into this is they've given them 6 weeks leeway here before making a decision to cancel. So the season opener is September 10th. That tells me we can have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That means by like August 3rd, they're going to have to make a decision if we're still go for the regular season. So basically about a month from now, we'll know if we're flipping that September into January.
Yeah.
Or if we're business as usual. So we've been having doubts about college football, but we've been pretty certain about NFL football. Now, this is the foundation for NFL.
I'm still certain NFL football will be played.
Yeah.
It's when is the season played.
Right.
There's too much money. There's too much money to be made from the television, you know, from the network side, with all the viewers that it brings in. And man, if you take away TV revenue from the NFL, they're crippled at that point financially. They can't move.
Are they like $20 billion a year?
They can't do anything if you take away that TV money. So I mean, they in a sense, they have to play. And I think that that's a big reason that the NBA is coming back as well.
Yeah,
they kind of just have to play so that they, A, hit their 70-game mark for local TV revenue.
Yeah.
And B, they're able to pull in all the national TV revenue that they get with the playoffs from Turner and Disney.
All right. Now, if we're still certain they're going to play in some form or fashion, it feels like college football, though, may be crumbling a little bit. We know that at the lower levels, the Ivy League will make a decision on Wednesday whether to stay the course, whether to delay the season and just play a 7-game conference schedule starting maybe in late September, early October, or push a 7-game conference-only schedule to the spring and start in April.
When talking college, I almost have the same thought process, though. Yeah, there's plenty of reasons not to play the games.
Right.
Fact is, there's one really big reason to play the games, and that's money.
And doesn't that feel weird with non-paid employees?
It feels very strange, yeah. Although that's, you know, that is slowly changing. They're right. Not employees in the true sense, but sooner, you know, soon they'll be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. But you take 85% of the revenue away from athletic departments, which is what on average a football program brings in, 85%.
Yes.
You're done. Again, right. You're done. You can't pay to charter a bus from anywhere.
Right.
You can't do anything. Your left and right arms tied behind your back.
Now, does it affect the Ivy League as much? The Ivy League can do whatever they want. They don't pay scholarships, right? They don't have that cost built in. I'm sure it costs them something. And I'm sure they get a little bit of revenue from tickets and everything, but they don't have major TV deals in the Ivy League or whatever.
They're the ones.
So they can do whatever they want and not affect too much.
But I even go to, you know, the cupcake games that we hate to watch, right?
Yeah.
Georgia State at Georgia. Well, Nobody's flipping on the SEC network at noon to watch that.
Right.
But Georgia State going to Athens and getting beat by 50 is what allows the entire Georgia State athletic department to run at a profit.
Absolutely.
You take that money away from those smaller schools, man, you think we've seen programs being slashed across the country recently.
Yeah.
Watch what happens. You're not going to be able to sustain athletic departments.
Right.
When you take away revenue, you take away the revenue from the gate for these big schools, you're going to have a tough time. Even more so, that's magnified tenfold.
Yeah.
When you look at the small schools.
Let's play a couple of sound bites from people on college football. Here's Laura Rutledge on Golic and Wingo this morning talking about college football with COVID-19 and basically taking a wait-and-see approach.
They've got so many scenarios, and contingency plans, it's probably hard to keep track of which one is which at this point. I would say even in the SEC, and Greg Sankey has been on record saying this, he might have said this to you guys, they've got 15 to 20 contingency plans just right now that they're operating with. I think spring is still a kind of worst case scenario, but still could get the season in type deal, and a lot of that has to do with some of the fiscal responsibilities. So it's out there. It could maybe happen, but I think the more likely thing would be, if we see the season push back, would be to see it push back, but sometimes still in the fall. The hesitancy there is that they're trying to get in as many games as possible. So do they push it back and then there's an additional outbreak or something like that? And that's where I think, you know, at some point you're going to see some of these leagues just say, all right, let's just, as long as we think we can be as healthy and as safe as possible, let's just go ahead and try this and see what happens, which is, I mean, I hate to sound flippant, but that's just the way that they're looking at it, you know, and I think that's a real possibility.
When I first heard that college football was thinking, one of the options was to play in the spring, I rejected it out of hand, immediately. I just thought, that doesn't make sense. And you got the NFL draft that's going to overlap. It would just be too weird. I think we're a step closer to it today. I do. Especially now, we just saw the NFL cancel two preseason games. If they cancel two more and then delay September and flip that part of the schedule and make it in January and delay the Super Bowl, then college football, slam dunk guarantee, will not be starting on time, if at all, in the fall. I think we're a step closer. They're just picking everything up and moving it to later.
And is it worth it for colleges to just play, you know, play a football schedule based on what their region is doing, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, in the Michigan, Wisconsin area. I know Ohio still got a high number of cases, but like Wisconsin's got basically none right now.
Right.
No reason Camp Randall can't be, you know, I don't want to say full stadium this fall, but there's no reason that they can't take precautions and continue to social distance and wear your mask, which I think we should all be doing down here in this state right now. Just, you know, it's easy now. Just put it on and it is what it is. But, you know, what happens if Wisconsin's going there going, no, we're playing football.
Yeah.
But you've got Rutgers who's like, guys, we can't play football. We're in New Jersey. I mean, they're how many miles apart?
Yeah.
But under the Big Ten umbrella, a lot has to come together. You, ACC, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at a school, maybe just throwing a state out there. Like if North Carolina's numbers are good come football season, whatever that means in your world.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, you got four schools right there, and great, that's – you know, it's a big chunk of your conference that's ready to play games. But if Miami's down here and Coral Gables going, Dade is nowhere close.
Right.
What happens? What do you do? You can't change the schedule to have an unbalanced ACC schedule. There's just a lot of what ifs and hypotheticals. And we could play this game till the cows come home.
But my fear is you go to Wisconsin. And you got not a lot of cases going on there. But it seems to me, my observation here is anytime we get people together, that's when the numbers go back. Wisconsin could be fine until we start putting people in football stadiums together or until we start rioting over racial issues. And that was 2-3 weeks ago. Why do you think numbers are going up? Anytime people are getting back together, the numbers seem to go back up. So I don't know if you're fine today, you can't necessarily just say, yeah, let's just put people in the stadiums because we're fine in Wisconsin, but you're not in Florida. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
But even going the Big Ten route, where they're just saying, okay, or the Ivy League,
yeah,
right, where they're saying, oh, well, we'll do a conference schedule, right, and they'll make that call next week. But like, can the SEC do that? Can the SEC do that if everybody's saying, hey, we're good to go except Georgia?
Right.
Because Georgia's numbers are going up right now.
Right.
And if Georgia's over here saying, guy, we can't play football yet, what are you going to have an SEC without Georgia? That doesn't work.
No.
Let's just hand Florida the East crown right now and pencil them in to play in Atlanta. That's another thing. Atlanta's the SEC championship site.
Right.
That's in December. It's a big metropolitan. Top five in the country
with COVID problems.
We're going to have a bunch of people, you know, come into Atlanta the weekend after Thanksgiving, which is already, you know, that's the busiest airport in the world.
Yeah,
Atlanta is
all getting together, spreading germs again.
I don't know, man. Like, there's so many questions and so many hypotheticals here. They're not going to be able to come up with a contingency for everything. I think that the money is just too great, and it's the lifeblood of college athletics. Where these kids, it's not fair. I think that they're going to be almost forced to play.
Yeah. One more soundbite, Chris. Here's Paul Feinbaum. Funny. He's been optimistic in the past. He was on Golic and Wingo, but now he says it's down to 50-50 as to where the college football plays this year.
Yeah, I think for the first time, we're probably at about 50% to start the season on time. And, you know, finishing it is I think it goes below that. But these are numbers that were – a month ago, I thought it was 100%. I mean, that's how confident I was. So these numbers are slipping, and I think if you're with, if I happen to be with you in a week or two, the numbers are going to go down. I mean, right now it's a little hard to predict what's ahead, but I just want to hear an honest portrayal from someone in intercollegiate athletics, and I have yet to hear that in the 3 months that we've been having this conversation.
Paul Feinbaum. All right. I think we'll leave it on that note. Hopefully a more optimistic day tomorrow. We still have What You Got. That's coming up next. We'll close it out. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Scheman and Shepherd.
What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Good eats, drinks, and scenic views. On this day in history, 1979, the Walkman makes his debut in stores. Oh, Chris, back in 19, we thought we were the deal. If you had a Walkman, it was bigger than your hand. and had earphones with big puffy things that was outside your ears and wires hooked into everything. Oh, yeah.
So how did you carry a Walkman and a cell phone at the same time?
This is pre-cell phone, Chris.
Oh, I thought you said 89.
79.
Oh, 79. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't have my first cell phone until 2000.
Really?
We had quote-unquote car phones in the 90s, but they were big and cumbersome, and they sat in your car and plugged into your cigarette lighter.
Huh.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. Let's see here. Birthdays today. Missy Elliott.
Yeah. 1-2-step.
She says a bad word from time to time.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Pam Anderson.
Pamela.
Always been a fan. It would have been...
good actress.
Sure. Great actress.
Yeah.
One of the best.
What?
That's why she gets the Golden Globes. Diana, Princess of Wales, would have been 59 today. Sam Rattigliano, born in 1933. Nancy Lieberman, 1958. Carl Lewis, sharing a date with Diana, 1961. We lost Marlon Brando in 2004.
Hate to hear it.
In 1859, the first intercollegiate baseball game. Amherst defeated Williams, 66-32.
Amherst in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, this took place in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, or as they like to pronounce it there, PIF. In 1945, speaking of this, first Major League Baseball superstar to return home from the war, World War II, Hank Greenberg. Homers in his first game for the Tigers.
Not
the
that
A's.
Hank Greenberg.
That Hank Greenberg.
No.
Yeah. 1945. What do you think?
I'm thinking of a different Hank Greenberg.
Not Mike Greenberg.
No, I'm thinking of Hank from, what was he, 790 The Ticket over in Miami?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. He's dead now.
Right? Is he?
I think so.
No.
If we're thinking about the same guy.
He did a radio show. He did gambling stuff on ESPN for a while.
Maybe I'm thinking of another Miami guy. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Let's see, 1974, NFL players go on a strike for 41 days over the Roselle Rule.
41 days.
They had to wait another 3 years before they got a new collective bargaining agreement deal. I guess Roselle won that one.
Been without pro sports for over 100 right now.
Exactly. 82, Cal Ripken makes his first of his record 2,216 consecutive starts at shortstop.
All right.
1998, the NBA players are locked out. Begins a 204-day work stoppage, and they then had their 50-game season.
Yeah, but they had other sports to watch.
That's true. They had another player lockout 7 years later. Season shortened by 16 games.
That's right. That was LeBron's first year in Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And then in 2018, on this date, LeBron signed a 4-year deal with the Lakers for $154 million. Chris, what you got?
All right. Rick Pitino had a good idea.
Yes.
Maybe not a good idea, but an idea that is gaining momentum.
Uh-huh.
Tweeted out today, 1 o'clock, a suggestion to the NCAA. Push the start of the season back to January and only play league game. Buy yourself some more time for a vaccine and to get things under control, although I can't wait to get back on the sidelines. The health of my players and staff is what's really important. And Jeff Goodman, great college basketball reporter, said that this is an option I'm hearing more and more from coaches. They're saying it makes a lot of sense.
Actually, it does make a lot of sense.
It really does.
Kids could stay home through the holidays,
yep.
Come back. Hopefully we'll start doing vaccines by then, maybe.
I was thinking of Hank Goldberg, not Greenberg. There you go.
There you go.
Different color.
Very good. Huh? Yeah. What else? What else? Yeah, not a bad idea by Rick Pitino. Kind of like it.
Keep the schedule the same, like, you know, March Madness and everything. You still line it up to butting up to the week of the Masters.
Yeah, everything kind of just picks back up. You got conference play, which is what we love.
Man, won't that be a sweet time where we have something, a sporting event, like actually start on time? Well, I want a vaccine.
Right.
That's what I want for Christmas. I want a vaccine.
Are you going to be first in line for that?
Because
they slapped this together. Now they're going to ask 300 million people to put something in their body.
No, I will not be first in line for it. But at that point, all these professional sports leagues can be like, hey, there's an option out there. We're going to go ahead business as usual now.
Yeah.
Now the lawsuit, potential lawsuits off us.
Right. Well, just what, 90 days, a quarter of a year ago, we were talking about July 1st. Hey, everything might be better by then. It's not. Now we're talking about January 1st. Let's hope it's better by then.
Yeah. Second half speech. That's what I'm here for.
Second half speech. Let's do it. All right. That'll do it for Chris and for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, Southwest Florida. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.